welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica with Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast, and our guest today is the author of the book that we're going to talk about is Soulmates, but that's like Seoul as in South Korea. Although, am I pronouncing it correctly?
Seoul.
Yes. Okay. But you, I know you've written other books in the past that have been a little bit spicier. So this book is actually the second in, I think, a series about the same character, Hara. And the first one was Heart and Seoul. And this is the follow-up to that. And it is adorable. It is romantic, but not as spicy as maybe your past books. We could talk about that a little bit later. But there's so much going on here about like the character, who had been brought up, adopted in America, and is now sort of backtracking and finding the family who gave her up and love, and it gets complicated. So talk a little bit about this book and sort of, I guess, the first one, because we hadn't talked about that. This is the first time I'm talking to you, and how it all came together.
Well, I just want to let your listeners know that they can read Heart and Soul or Soulmates without reading the first book. I think that there is enough of a story there that people can get a picture of the characters and have a fulfilling journey. But if you want to read both of them, which I would love if you did, it is a duology. And the first book, Heart and Soul, starts with Hara Wilson connecting with her birth father through a DNA matching service leak. And so she had recently lost her adoptive father, who she never had a very good relationship with. And so she's at this emotional time in her life and decides to go suddenly to South Korea to find her birth family. And Soulmates starts at the end of just a few weeks later, at the end of Heart and Soul, and she's found her birth mother. She's fallen in love with an entirely inappropriate person, her stepbrother, and she has to navigate being a foreigner in Seoul and learning the customs, being in her mother's workplace, and trying to determine really what is family and what is love. And that's her journey. I'm adopted myself, and I guess I started thinking about this story, I want to say in about 2008, that's about 4 or 5 years ago, and it kind of just sat in the back of my mind, and I didn't know if there would be a chance for me to write this story, because even 5 years ago, there wasn't, I didn't feel like there was a market for these multicultural books to the extent that there is now. And so I've known Cindy Huang for a long time, who is my editor at Berkeley, and I told her about my idea, and she said I should write that. And so I did, and she bought it, and that's how those stories came to be.
I'm glad you did. I actually know a number of people who have been adopted from Korea or China to, you know, white families here in America. And I know that, you know, it's important to see yourself in pop culture and literature and, you know, to know that there's others who are talking about it, because I know it's, I don't know from firsthand, but as I understand, it's you know, a unique experience, you know, obviously unique to each person in their own way, but still something that, you know, is it's important to kind of note that it's not like, okay, you're adopted and then everything is great and, you know, you're just living you know, with this family, there's a lot of nuance to it. Obviously, they're your family, but there's a lot of other parts to it. Hara's journey is very sweet. I think that I love the fact that you say that you don't have to read the first book, Heart and Soul, first, but I would recommend people reading it because it's, I think it's good to see, you know, how she came here. And I really just liked her, just, you know, like how she sort of navigated friendships and this idea of family and what makes a family, and then add to that the fact that her stepbrother Eugen is kind of her love interest also. Now for those who have not read the first one, they didn't grow up together actually. This just happens to be her birth mother's stepson, and of course, you know, to complicate things, he is also Hara's love interest. When you were writing that, how did that all come together?
Well, I'm a big K-drama fan, so I wanted to write my own K-drama. And I think that the stepbrother trope in this particular circumstance provided that kind of drama spiciness that I wanted in the story. And so it really started around that concept that she would fall in love with her. She had to fall in love with an inappropriate person. And I felt like this relationship, this dynamic between the son that her mother chose and, you know, the life that she led because her mother had gave her up for adoption, added a whole nother layer of conflict to that romance. But rather than having them be at odds with each other, because I felt like that would be kind of predictable, I chose to go a different route.
It was really good. And I'm glad that you did. And, you know, I'm just kind of going through just some of the things in the story. You know, it's very much character driven and drama driven, as you had mentioned, K-dramas, which have found a home here with American audiences as well recently. And, you know, I don't know if it's just sort of part of the love of soap operas, but I actually know several people who are not Korean in background who just eat K-dramas up now. So it's quite fun to see just sort of some cross-cultural just enjoyment of different, I guess, soap operas and such. But one of the things that was really, really important in this story, and I know I touched upon it earlier, and I just kind of wrote back here, you know, the idea, the quote that is, family is about the people who love you back. And the idea of where exactly Hara does belong. I mean, she was born in Korea, but she's coming in as a foreigner, as you mentioned, even in her own birth family. And it was a really, it was just a really interesting journey to take with her.
Yeah, I loved writing this story. And one of the things that I really loved is I had to do a lot of research, because as a Korean adoptee, I grew up in the Midwest, and my relationship to my birth culture is very thin. I can't speak Korean. I am learning, I'm studying it now. And I had a little exposure to it. My mother did, you know, the very best that she could with the resources she had. You know, she learned to cook Korean for us. I grew up eating kimchi and other Korean bulgogi and other Korean dishes. And so she really did just a fantastic job of trying to keep me connected in some ways. But, you know, growing up, especially in this very white, in the very white culture that I did, you know, my dedication in my first book is to my brother. who was also adopted. And I wrote in it that he was the only other person that looked like me growing up. And that's true, because I grew up in a small town of just a few thousand people, and we were the only minorities in that town. And so I, as much as my mother tried to give me access to Korean culture in our small town, I really didn't want it. You know, I wanted to fit in, and I didn't want to be seen eating weird food or dressing weird, or just, you know, you just want to be part of the crowd. And so for a long time, I didn't want to be associated with my Korean culture. It really wasn't until I actually visited Korea my first time in 2002 that I went there and I fell in love, and I really became proud of my heritage there. But coming back to the Midwest, you know, you just don't see it anywhere. The first time that I heard Gangnam Style on the radio, I remember distinctly. I was driving to work. It was early in the morning. I was on the freeway, and I almost pulled over because I was overwhelmed with emotion hearing Korean words on the radio. And now there's just this amazing explosion of Koreanness in the West. And for me, it's been really heartwarming, and has helped me to identify even more with my Korean culture. So I say that all as an explanation for a little about Hara, and how writing the story and researching about all of these cultural things, the funeral, the chuseok, and the charis that there's this chuseok is the kind of like a Korean Thanksgiving. It's a harvest festival. And it's one of the major holidays in South Korea. So there's chuseok and sulaeo, which is the Lunar New Year. And so chuseok and sulaeo, they do these things where the families all get together and you honor your ancestors. You actually do this honoring of your ancestors throughout the year, but there's two really big celebrations for that. And one of them is chuseok. And there's a very elaborate table that you set out. Now, not everyone follows these procedures anymore. And as Korea becomes more modern, they've moved away from some of these traditions. And these traditions can be the cause of a lot of heartache too. There's, when I was doing my research, I saw that divorce rates increase after chuseok and sulaeo because it's very burdensome on the women and the family. They're required to cook multiple dishes, sometimes 30 different dishes, and host their husbands' families. And so the scene that I wrote in there, which I think is one of the more pivotal scenes, you know, was based on a lot of research. And I learned a lot more about my Korean culture writing these scenes. And that was one of the biggest pleasures that I had. And I really relate to Hara in how that family is, you know, the saying is blood is thicker than water, right? But the actual saying is blood is thicker than the water in the womb, right? So it's not that blood is thicker than water. That's not where the saying ends. It means that your connections with the people that you have are stronger than the water in the womb. You know, my mother is the woman who raised me, who adopted me. I don't know who gave birth to me. And so Hara, going back to her homeland, she thought that she would find immediate acceptance and she would finally figure out who she was as a person the minute that she stepped in. And when she gets off the airport, she sees everyone that looks like her. And I actually had this experience, and it's hard to describe, and I don't know if I did it justice in my first book, but it was really overwhelming to see everyone that looked like me. If you're not a minority, you wouldn't have that experience, because when you look out, you see your own culture and your own phenotypical features reflected back at you. So she goes to Korea and she sees everyone that looks like her and she's like, oh, I finally belong. But she doesn't, because she doesn't speak the language. She doesn't know the customs. She was not raised as a Korean in the mainland, in the motherland. So in the second book, she really struggles with that identity of, you know, where does she really belong? Does she belong back in Iowa where no one looks like her? Or does she belong here where she can't speak the language and she doesn't know the customs? And it's her finding who she is through the realization that identity doesn't necessarily come from a place or even a people, but it's discovering that you love the things about yourself and you love the people around you and those people who love you back. And that's what forms who you are and what your family is.
Very well put. And thank you so much for, you know, just sharing all of that, because that all comes through, I think, very well in the story. So it's a duology. So are we going to see any of the characters in this book maybe on their own in the future? Are you going to write in Hara's world, maybe as having her be a side character in the future?
I don't know. To some extent, I don't know if I'm the right person to write a story about some of the characters in the story.
Right.
And I also don't think that I could be right a Korean person living in the mainland, because that's not my experience.
Right.
I would be a little tentative to do that. I think there are other people who could probably do that a lot better than me. I do want to write more stories about people that look like me, and I envision that that's the future direction I go, but I don't know where that takes me. I do have a couple stories that I'm working on right now where identity isn't really as big of an issue, and they just happen to be Korean, because that's, you know, I think, you know, other authors can write about their own
right
cultures, yeah, and things, and I can write about Koreans. So I would love to revisit Hara and Yujin. I love those characters. I think they're so, I think the whole friendship group that they have are wonderful. And so I would never say I wouldn't revisit that, but I don't have plans right now.
So going back to what I said earlier, like in the very beginning. So when I was researching you, I'm like looking up, you know, like, okay, so this is this is a duology. And then I just see pictures of book covers with abs. I was like, ooh.
When I first started out, I definitely wrote sexier books. In fact, my first draft of Heart and Soul Soulmates came back with, you need to write some steamier scenes. I didn't ever write erotica, but I definitely wrote steamier romances, more explicit sex.
Yeah, a little spicy
scenes. And yeah. You know, that was fun, but I didn't feel like it belonged in this duology. Not because I think that sex is an important part of the love relationship, and it was important. I mean, I felt like the sex scenes and these stories played an important part in their relationship and in their character progression. I just didn't feel like the tone of the story fit with a more explicit love scene. And so they were deliberately toned down. I think one of the most fun series that I wrote was with my friend Jessica Clare, and we wrote this Russian hitman series, and those are pretty sexy, so and fun. A totally different aspect of what I wrote with Heart and Soul and Soulmates. I wrote some football books because I love football, although I have to confess that my love for football has kind of petered out. I used to be a hardcore fan, but some of the kind of scandals and things that have gone on in the NFL has turned me off. So when you lose your passion for certain things, then I just don't feel like you can, at least for me, I can't write those books anymore. Like I can't, I wrote about football because I loved football. And now I don't love it. I don't really have a passion for writing about it. But those were, you know, when you write about athletes, I feel like those are very physical characters. And so sex and more explicit sex made sense for those characters.
No, I totally get it. It was just, and I think that, you know, this book, the duology for Hara, they're absolutely charming. It wasn't so much, you know, I wasn't trying to sort of like imply that, you know, one is better than the other. It was it was just sort of like one of those things where I was like, oh, okay, here's, you know, sort of what you're transitioning from. But it really was charming. And, you know, Eugene was a really great character and just a really good love interest. And I think he was charming.
I loved writing him. He's definitely a different hero than other heroes I've written in the past. And I loved writing him. It was really important for me to just portray this Korean man as super sexy and appealing, and I think charming is, I am glad that you've used that, because I feel like he's comes off as super charming, and I wanted to write him that way.
And he's just a good guy. Toony. Like you want, like, you know, there's so many love interests in just, you know, who are like a little bit bad, you know, like not the best, I guess. And like, he's just like a good guy. Like, that's another thing that's important. Like, sometimes you really just need the charm to be that this person is genuine.
Yeah, you know, Hara has so much going on in her life, and to make the romance be one of huge conflicts would have been, I felt like she needed something, a lifeline to hold on to as she was trying to navigate these very tumultuous waters. And Eugene was her lifeline. You know, he was the steady port. He was her lighthouse, whatever you want to call it. He was there. He was her rock. And he helped her through so many of her struggles. And then she was there for him too when he needed it. And I felt like their relationship was sweet and tender, but very romantic.
Yeah, I think the fact that like he was her stepbrother made it complicated enough. So, you know, I mean, there's some drama there with that, but you don't need more than that. I mean, it was really just very cute. I loved it. And I am looking forward to whatever comes next with you. So thank you so much for sharing this book and talking about all of this.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So once again, this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. Our guest today was
Jen Frederick.
And we are going to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.